brought to you by GMSDC Radio and broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Let's Talk Small Business with your host, Stacy Key.
Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk Small Business, the show dedicated to small businesses and entrepreneurs. If you're every Tuesday at 11:30, please join us as we talk about the issues that drive the American economy. We've been talking about a very hot topic around finance and financial literacy and angel investing. And with us, back with us, is Rodney Sampson for part two of that discussion. We're going to continue the dialogue. This has been really a fascinating discussion about angel investors and some statistics he shared with us in terms of wealth. So, Rodney, thank you for joining us again. And thank you for being a part of this dialogue.
Oh, it's good to be here, Stacey.
So let's continue. We were hot and heavy last time around this angel investing. And could you quickly share some of those statistics in terms of wealth of African Americans and as well as Latinos and the general population, and talk about where this angel investing in terms of growing your business?
Sure. We were talking about when you want to go raise capital, how and where you go raise that capital, whether it's debt or equity. And right now, in kind of the American conscious, you think your bank and you think Shark Tank. So, you know, the 8 million plus people who watch and talk about Shark Tank are now intrigued with how do I get in front of an angel investor who might be a shark or who might be a dolphin. That's another
shark. A dolphin. Now, tell me, what's the dolphin? What's the dolphin?
Well, of course, the shark is going for the blood, right?
Right. The dolphin is kinder, gentler.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
Same, well, I like the dolphin.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a shark, but a dolphin. Okay, it's a dolphin.
Not the Shark Tank, not the dolphin tank.
Okay. Yeah.
But they're all angels, right?
Right.
And so then we start talking culturally when you look at minority small businesses. We don't have a lot of angels in our community. And one reason, we talked about mindset, but then we broke it down to, let's just look at the 2010, the U.S. Census Bureau, the racial wealth gap.
Okay.
Right? African-Americans' net worth, okay, assets minus liabilities.
Net worth.
Not your salary.
Correct. Your net worth.
Right.
But it's all said and done. When you've paid everybody, this is what's left.
Right. The average net worth of an African-American family is less than $5,000. Latino
now,
family.
That's scary in itself, but that's the average with everybody across the country.
Right. That parallels, that net worth parallels to collective African-American net worth during the Reconstruction period.
Okay.
Okay, just to give you some historical context.
Okay.
After the emancipation of the Southern slaves was a 10-year or so Reconstruction period, wealth was being accumulated. Now, 150 years later, average net worth is there. Now, buying power is $1 trillion, you know.
Right.
We can buy some stuff.
And
there are people that are doing well, so we have to give some context to this. A part of the conversation, so Asian Americans, 76,000, white Americans, 110,000. So you see about $100,000+ gap
right
there. So when you go to your uncle, you go to your aunt, you go to your
there's
mom,
there's no angel
dad,
there to invest.
Right.
Because I have less than 5,000.
Exactly. It's not a shark tank, it's a minnow tank.
Okay. I like a minnow.
Right. But there are innovative things like equity crowdfunding to help bring the minnows together to add up to
and
we, a shark.
And let's make sure we talk about equity crowdfunding as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. So that just gives some kind of context around, you know, angel investing. We gave some statistics that in 2013, approximately $25 billion was invested in the form of angel investing. That created about 290,000 plus jobs and 70,000 companies. Okay. Half of that, nearly half, went to seed and early stage investments.
Okay.
Real early stage.
But they created a whole lot of jobs from that.
Almost 300,000 jobs. Less than 1% of all angel capital went to black companies, less than 1% to Latino, and less than 7% to women.
So women at least got a piece of it, less than 7%, 1% for the other two groups.
Right. And you know why women are getting a piece of it? Because successful women entrepreneurs are knocking it out of the park in terms of angel investing.
Well, when you talk about women, what about women of color?
Another story. It's non-existent. There are some.
Okay.
What do we call this?
When you say non-existent,
remnant.
It just.
Okay,
ew.
So I have Black Enterprise and I. We partnered up early this year. We went on. we were out looking for black angels around the country. There was an article where we highlighted 20 black angels. It's the print edition with T.D. Jakes on the cover. You might have
heard. It was last year.
This year.
This year?
April.
Was it this year? Okay.
Yeah, April,
okay.
May
okay.
edition. We could not identify 100 active angel investors of color in the country. Okay.
You couldn't identify anybody who would stand up and say, I'm an angel.
Right. I believe they're out there. Okay.
But somebody who would stand up and say, right. I want to be counted as an angel.
Exactly. So we highlighted 20. There were a few
ladies.
You
couldn't find 100?
No.
In all of the United States, you couldn't find 100?
Couldn't find 100.
So you highlighted the 20
and
you
found.
They
ask a lot of, they assume that a lot of the BE100's companies were angels or
somebody within the company.
Capitalists. Right.
Okay.
Now, what's the gentleman who owns Worldwide Technologies?
Dave Stewart, who is a big strategic partner of GMSDC.
Okay. Dave Stewart, from what I understand, does have a venture fund. Okay. But he's the anomaly.
Is he the only one with a venture fund?
He's the only one that we know of. Now, but there's hope. Let me tell you what the hope is. Lauren Mylene Bias, she's probably not even 30 yet. She's New York based. Mm-hmm. She's raised her first $30 million venture fund. It's called Gen X Partners or something. So African American female who raised a $30 million
she's
venture fund.
She's the only
fund,
one that's, of the 20 one. On your list, were there any, was she the only female or there were none?
Val Mosley might have been on the list. Valerie Mosley might have been on the list. So we're on this mission, all right, to create African American, female, minority angel investors.
So let me, and the reason I asked about women of color, as GMSDC approaches our 40th anniversary, which is next year, 2015, we have a really sharp focus on women of color.
Okay.
In lots of ways, not just from capital, from mentoring, to education, to helping growth. So our focus is going to be around mentoring, education, and capital, MEC.
Okay.
And maybe MEC squared with some other things onto it.
Sure.
So we're going to be really hyper-focused on that.
Okay.
So the reason for the question.
I think it's just... It's all about exposure and the evolution of understanding how macroeconomics works. When we're taught to give back a certain way, we just do it. We give back to our churches. We give back to the civil rights organizations. We give back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
But that young African-American male or female that's attending an HBCU or is over at Tech, when they graduate and they want to pursue their dreams and they need to raise 25, 50, or 100,000, they are left hanging.
Okay. But again, but if your net worth is less than 5,000, there's nothing there to give.
Right. But yes, there is. Okay? Because your net worth is less than 5,000, but you could easily have a $75,000 to $100,000 a year salary. Now, there are two ways to approach this. One is let's mentor the minority suppliers and let's teach them one of the ways you can invest and give back and lower your taxes at the same time.
By investing
in startups. Okay? So let's incentivize the suppliers. Let's also teach the culture about equity crowdfunding at the federal level. And then at the state level for some states.
Okay, so I'm going to pause right here. There's two things I want to talk about.
Okay.
I want to talk about the equity crowdfunding.
Okay.
And then I want to talk about how, again, where you're going is my salary may be 75 and my expenses could be 75, but if I reduce my expenses or some combination, I've got dollars. I want to talk about the state of Georgia as well as federal.
Okay.
How I reduce my taxes by investing in these startups. So those two things I want to talk about.
Okay. So let's start with how do I reduce my taxes? So we'll wrap that up and then we'll talk about the greater community.
Okay.
Right? Let's say I do $10 million a year in my business and, EBITDA is $2 million,
okay.
right? I can pretty much project what my EBITDA is, my earnings before interest, taxes, mm-hmm. depreciation, mm-hmm. amortization. That's from my MBA days. I remember that.
You did good. You did good.
Yeah, it's like a fraternity chant. I just came out, right? Like Invictus,
EBITDA,
right?
EBITDA,
yeah.
EBITDA.
So I look at my EBITDA and I say, you know what? I'm going to pay $1 million in taxes. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pay $2 million in taxes. Well, I can create an entity and I can expense $500,000 or $1 million in the name of research, in the name of development, in the name of investment. And so I've just reduced my taxable income. I would have paid it anyway. And trust me, the federal government would like for you to create more jobs than automatically pay taxes.
Absolutely.
Because they'll get
More revenue.
They'll get more revenue from the jobs.
So as a small business owner, I can take some dollars and allocate them for research development that can be used to help fund some startups, reduce my taxes, create jobs. Sounds like a win-win. So why don't more people do that?
Being exposed to it.
Is it having the knowledge about
it? The knowledge. And so we've, you know, at Opportunity Hub, we've aggregated mentors, you know, in the form of angels, in the form of lawyers and accountants that understand how to properly structure this. For instance, in the state of Georgia, there is legislation that allows a Georgia accredited investor or business to invest $50,000 in
or less, $50,000 or less?
$50,000 or less.
Okay.
In a startup and get up to 30% of your tax revenue, get a credit for up to 30% of your tax revenue.
So again, if I invested $50,000, I'd get a credit for $15,000.
Exactly.
Okay.
There you go. So it helps you mitigate some of your potential loss, right? You get a tax incentive.
I get it. That tax incentive is for the state of Georgia. What about on a federal?
There are no federal tax incentives at this point. Mm-hmm. We are working on a piece of federal legislation, which will take a while. We've got Republican and Democratic support for it. We're aiming to get a hearing at the end of next month so we can start to push that along. And it's a simple amendment to the New Market Tax Credit. So we got a ways to go on that.
Okay.
But the Treasury Department just allocated another multi-billion dollar tranche for New Market Tax Credits, and they don't always get utilized. So we're hoping that this could help solve some of that. It becomes win-win, and then the accredited investors then get the tax up to 37% tax credit that way. So we're very excited about the possibilities of that.
So that sounds like, again, that's a good thing. I'm creating jobs. I'm fueling the economy.
Right.
I'm saving on taxes. It sounds like it's a win-win all the way around. So the challenge there is we've got to do more in educating and make sure people are aware and how to leverage it, how to structure it so that can happen.
Sure. And I'm committed to working with you to do that.
And so, and then once I've got 50K, who do I invest in?
Right.
Yeah, that's going to be, because ultimately I'd like to have it back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the rationale is if you don't get it back, you've already gotten the tax incentive.
You've gotten the tax. Is it a one-year tax incentive? Is it multi-year?
In the state of Georgia, I believe it applies. I'm not an accountant or a tax lawyer, so don't quote me on this. But I believe it applies, I think, to that 1 year that you make the investment.
Okay.
All right.
And then we'll follow up again. We're going to continue the series. You're going to see more information about this. So let's go to the equity crowdfunding. That sounds sexy
absolutely.
To me. That sounds real sexy.
So, of course, you know, macro crowdfunding, there's so many different types. There's a Kickstarter kind. You get a perk. You know, I always use this as an example. The watch company that wanted to raise $100,000 to launch their new watch on Kickstarter ended up raising millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And then I believe it was Sony or Samsung came along. Now, everybody got their cool watch, but Samsung came along and bought the company. And so you got a cool watch, but imagine if you would have had one share or two shares or three shares of this company that
it's cool.
was purchased,
yes.
right? So you get a cool perk and you get some stock too.
I wonder if that was the impetus behind that new Samsung watch they've got out there.
It might be. It's like kind of like the cool rubber and it's
yes.
like the digital.
Yep.
Yeah. So they bought that startup off of Kickstarter. And so.
Wow.
So that's the perks kind. Then you even have churches now that are crowdfunding mm-hmm. different causes or even looking at their church mortgages, which is a security. It's a note. And so churches can crowdfund their mortgages, and they're doing this. A lot of this has happened on the West Coast where the members and the community can buy the note, and they'll say, well, I tell you what, I believe in the church's mission. Just pay me a 3% return, because I'm only getting less than 1% in my bank right now. So pay me a 2 or 3% return versus the bank's making 7, 8, or 10%. So that's looking like a very hybrid opportunity for crowdfunding.
Now, that's interesting. So the church, the members of the church become the owners, basically. And so I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're working with a group out of Seattle, Washington that's created this platform. The founder of the company was the founding legal securities attorney for Amazon.com. So he knows his stuff. So this whole crowdfunding thing we're passionate about, particularly looking at how do we address the wealth gap in our community. You know, when you look at, and this is a little deviation from the conversation, when you look at nearly $50 billion in church mortgage principal, this Ooh. Is just black church, okay? 70,000 churches. Approximately $50 billion in principal. Over the next 20 to 30 years, that's $250 billion, $250 billion that will go towards principal and interest just for a church mortgage. For $250 billion, we could educate, according to U.S. Census, every five-year-old or younger black male, female, or male four-year college institution with that money.
Now, keep in mind that GMSDC, we cover the whole rainbow coalition.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Of Latino, Asian, definitely. Native American.
Oh, yeah.
So we cover the whole rainbow coalition.
Just give you those little data points.
Okay.
So now, equity crowdfunding. That means when you exchange your money, whether it's $100, $500, or $1,000, you get a piece of that company. You get a share, ownership in that company. We're actually doing that right now with our Opportunity Hub to make it the first crowdfunded entrepreneur ecosystem. It's called 1,000 Founders. Okay. And we're selling stock. So the very fact that I can actually tell someone over the air that I'm selling stock is innovation in equity policy in itself. Because the rules have been so restrictive at a federal level and a state level. So now let's talk about the law.
Okay.
At the federal level, the president signed into law 2 years ago the Jobs Act. Now, not to be confused with the American Jobs Act, but the Jobs Act is an acronym for Jumpstart Our Business Startups. The law has different rules. Now, as a matter of fact, this piece of legislation had more bipartisan support than any other piece of legislation in this president's term, period.
Okay.
So both parties
want board.
Equity crowdfunding to happen as a way to stimulate small business access to capital in a major way. We're now waiting for all of the different rules, Rule 1, Rule 2, up to Rule 7, to be ruled on. Rule 2 has been ruled on, which allows for companies that have private placements where they're raising private capital from accredited investors, and an accredited investor is an individual who has a net worth of at least $1 million minus their home and or makes $200,000 a year individually or $300,000 as a couple.
As an accredited investor?
An accredited investor.
Okay. So who, wait a minute, this accredited investor, where did this come from?
This is SEC. The Securities and Exchange Commission has rules on who can invest in private placements.
Okay.
That's why most people would have never gotten the opportunity to invest in Facebook or Google or Twitter.
Because they have these rules.
Because they have these rules.
And there's income thresholds, and we were just talking about
Exactly.
Income back to the 5,000.
And net worth. So if your network is 5,000, you definitely don't qualify because you don't meet the 1 million.
Correct.
Now, your network can be low, but if you made $200,000 for 2 years, then, you know, but if you make $200,000 and your net worth is 5,000,
something's going on.
You got some,
you need some help.
Yeah, yeah. And we can help you there too.
Yeah, we can help you quickly.
After we pray for you, right? So accredited versus non-accredited has been the issue.
So hold on. I'm back on it. So anybody who has a net worth of $1 million can be an accredited investor.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't matter. You don't have to know anything about the industry. We're not saying you are sophisticated.
No, you can just be an accredited investor.
Right.
You don't have to know anything.
Right. Play ball by day, invest in private placements by night.
Okay, that's going to be a separate show because I see a place to go with that right there.
There you go.
Okay.
Okay, so the reason being is the SEC says if you have that net worth, then you understand the risk in investing, which is not automatically the case. Okay, but that's another conversation too when we have that conversation. Now, the law does the law does allow for up to 35 non-accredited investors in private placements. And let me tell you what a private placement is, okay? Private placement is when you want to go out and essentially raise usually $1 million plus in equity for your company. Mm-hmm. You have to file forms mm-hmm. with the SEC
right.
basically saying this is the ownership table and this is how much we're selling the stock mm-hmm. for. Mm-hmm. And they've got different types of offerings. Regulation A, Regulation right. B, C, mm-hmm. D, 50 this, 50 that. Mm-hmm. So that's another complicated. You really need a securities attorney to help mm-hmm. you go through those complexities, unless you've done this.
Yes, before.
Yeah. Yeah. So equity crowdfunding begins to reduce the barriers. One of the barriers that has been reduced at the federal level is that you can now openly solicit private placement offerings. So whereas before, let's say you were accredited, you were accredited, you were accredited. If I didn't know you, then legally I couldn't pitch you. I had to have a pre-existing relationship with you
before I can pitch you.
Right.
And now this opened it up. That's why
Title II of the Jobs Act, of the Federal Jobs Act, removes the non-solicitation rule. Okay.
So I can go after anybody.
I could create an infomercial as long as my private placement is legit. The legal work is
right.
legit.
Right.
But now the onus is on me to ensure that you are actually an accredited investor. So there's some.
Oh.
So now.
So I still have to be an accredited investor.
Right. And I still have mm-hmm. to be able to prove somehow.
That you are.
That you are. Financial statement, your bank signs off on it, et cetera. Now, the non-accredited pool, which is 97% of America.
Right. Yes, it is.
That is Title III of the Jobs Act. And what that will allow is a company to raise up to $1 million every 12 months from the crowd, from non-accredited investors. Okay, we are still waiting for the SEC to rule on Title III mm-hmm. of the Jobs Act. While the nation is waiting, states have started passing their own intrastate
legislation.
Equity crowdfunding legislation. In Georgia, it's called the Invest Georgia Exemption, IGE. Mm-hmm. Our advisor at the Opportunity Hub wrote the law. Attorney Vincent Russo authored Invest Georgia exemption. So he advises us on what he meant when he wrote it to mm-hmm. be interpreted by lawyers and accountants, et cetera. So today in Georgia, you can raise up to $1 million every 12 months from an unlimited amount of non-accredited investors. So technically, let's say you want to raise $1 million, you could have 10,000 investors at 100, 1,000 investors at 1,000, or 100 at 10,000, and none of them have to be accredited at all. So depending on the business structure, now one of your questions, I can hear it coming, is why would someone want to have 1,000 investors? It depends on the business. Mm-hmm. If you have a consumer product or a consumer web product that is dependent mm-hmm. upon users, imagine having 1,000 investors.
Then now they can have the product.
1,000
advocates for
advocates.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, legally, and since we've gone through this process, our securities attorney advised us to put different legal in our operating agreement, in our offering circular, which was prepared by our securities lawyer. Mm-hmm. So you want to have a good securities lawyer, good accountant, mm-hmm. et cetera, in place. We have different restrictions in terms of what we can do, what we have to let the crowd, this class C of investors. So we've created a different class for those investors. So there's some complexities to actually understanding it. We have invested the money and resources to create what we believe is a best practices precedence for raising capital in Georgia using IGE. And we call that 1,000 Founders. It's actually 1000founders.com. Mm-hmm. We are full disclosure on the forms we had to file with the state, our operating agreement.
So you've got a template out there for anybody.
We've got a template, exactly.
Yep, for people to use.
Right.
You want to raise a million dollars? here you go. Exactly. This is what you need to do.
So now non-accredited people,
investors,
everybody can become a micro angel.
That's the message, because now, again, whether I'm given $1,000, which again makes me a micro investor,
right?
I can get a piece of it. At a, again, I don't have to have, you know, this $50,000, $60,000 investment, but I can own a piece of it, of a startup.
Right. And the more people that are attached to the startup, the more chances it can succeed. Usually, if you're raising $1 million and you get five people to write $200,000 checks,
those
five people can make introductions and do the best they can, but they really are kind of hands-off in terms of the business actually growing. They're depending on the team, okay? They're dependent on the team. But if I got 1,000 people talking about Opportunity Hub, you don't know who knows who, who's going to refer who. It just organically starts to swell.
Yeah, you start a buzz.
Absolutely. So now we're talking to different institutions, like we're talking to Women in Technology. We're talking to Spelman. I was just with Dr. Tatum. I said, imagine having the Spelman Angels. You know, so when you incubate these young ladies that are coming through and they come up with the next greatest thing, you go to the Spelman Angels and you raise that capital. Or let's go to the MSDC Angels, right? Mm-hmm. You know, every organization, let's go to the large mega churches. They can have angels that are funding deal flow inside of their respective community.
Okay, so I love it. The challenge today that these communities don't have angels. And how do we bridge this gap in about, you know, 2 minutes? How do we, you know, get the concept, the idea, and get the interest to start doing it? Because we don't have it today.
One is over-education. We have to over-educate. We're not even teaching how to be an owner. We have to teach you want to be an owner of something. Okay? What can you own today?
Because that's how you create wealth.
At 18. Okay, you can rent or you can own. So I think one is macro education in all of our institutions in the state, nationwide, and I'm talking cross-culture.
Yes,
I'm not talking black and white. Cross-culture education around owning something small and doing it over and over again, okay? The second thing is success. If you have a good job, if you have a growing company that's doing well, you should be looking at how you can become an angel investor. You do not have to be accredited to be an angel investor.
That's exactly right.
Because the law already allows for companies to have so many non-accredited investors. And if you can get that first check, Stacey, there's usually somebody waiting to give you that second, third, and fourth check. You got to get that first check. And that closes the gap.
I'm telling you, it's just kind of opened my whole eyes to this whole opportunity. Because we got lots of, you know, GMSDC has, you know, over 700 minority businesses.
Wow.
And so just the thought of us being investors back into the system and back into each other, there's a tremendous opportunity for us to be angels.
Yeah.
You know, Dave Stewart is part of the family.
Okay.
He's got the only fund.
Right.
And you know what? And he was here earlier this year, and we didn't talk about that.
Right.
I'm going to call him. Guess what? I'm going to call him and talk about
it. All 37 councils have the viability.
24.
All 24 councils have the viability to have their own venture fund at some point.
Yeah, and I would tell you, when I joined GMSDC 6 years ago, that was one of the dreams. The goal is to have a fund.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And start small. You know, everybody wants to raise a $100 million fund. Start with five.
Yeah.
You know, start with $5 million. Deploy that. Make some mistakes.
You said $5
million.
I said $5,000. You said $5
million. The legal work will probably cost you about $150.
Okay.
But, you know.
We're going to have to wrap up. But again, two more to be continued. I want to thank Rodney Sampson for joining us again on Let's Talk Small Business. I want to thank our sponsors, the Wells Fargo, the Georgia Power, Coca-Cola Company, and Ronsted, for without you, this would not be possible. We'll look forward to seeing you again on the next edition of Let's Talk Small Business. Take care.